Tripod Superdogs, a celebration of three-legged dogs. Mayhem. Tripod Superdogs was inspired by photographer Sarah Loveland's own three-legged dog, Ruby. I'm Julie Hill. High-energy border collie Mayhem had to find an alternative to her budding agility career when she lost her leg. First off, Amy tells us how Mayhem came by that brilliant name.
Oh, yes. So when she was born, that's what the breeder called her. So when I picked her, he said to me, well, my mum said, what are you going to call her? And he said, oh, I call that one Mayhem because she's the one that's in trouble most of the time. And I said, yeah, that sticks, that. So we'll keep that one.
Yeah, I like that. See, we've got a dog
called... definitely lives up to it.
Brilliant. We've got a dog called Mischief. And my daughter's always saying, I'd like to call another one Mayhem, you know. And I've not heard it on anybody else's dog. But yes, it's good. Yeah. So you knew what you were choosing then?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, excellent. And she's a border collie, isn't she?
She's a border collie, yeah.
Yeah, smashing. Okay, and how old is she?
So she's six now. She'll be seven in February.
Yeah, oh, in the prime of life. Okay.
Yes.
So, oh, bless her.
And that's her, yes.
Yes, she's like, yes, I'm here, diva. Okay, so how did she become a tripod?
So back in 2001, she went slightly lame. So I took her to the vets. Obviously, they said give her Loxycom, see how she goes. Sort of as that month progressed, she did get a bit worse. So she started, I'd say the sort of beginning of February, she was sort of walking on three legs. So we took her back. They said they thought she needed a steroid injection. So they'll give her an X-ray and an injector. And when the X-rayed her, they phoned me up and they said, obviously, it's bad news. She's got a bone tumour. Oh. So it wasn't what anybody was expecting when she was, she was only four then.
Yeah.
So then obviously you've got to make the decision, do you take the leg or do you put her to sleep? And it's quite a hard decision to make because obviously you don't know. I've not had a tripod before, so I didn't know how she would cope or anything like that.
Yeah.
But it, with the situation, it had to be a quick decision.
Yes.
Because obviously she was in a lot of pain, so you kind of had to think overnight, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And I decided to obviously take the leg.
Yeah. It is. It's a huge decision. When the vet says to you, I imagine anybody that hears the word cancer, but like when the vet says to you, okay, the tumour or the it's a mast cell tumor, whatever it is. When they actually say cancer, your world just stops, doesn't it? And you just, it's so bewildering and it's just a horrible thing to go through. So with that sort of turmoil going on, and then you've got time pressure as well, that's a big decision, particularly I imagine with a border collie. I mean, not about a leg, but I sort of faced decisions with a Labrador who his priority in life was just meeting people. But with a border collie, often it's about sort of chasing a ball or running around and being quite high energy, high drive. So that would feel a really difficult decision, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and obviously she was an agility dog, a competitive agility dog. So it was obviously taking away her career.
Yeah.
She couldn't compete in that. So it was a big decision. We've seen many vets. It obviously got sent to specialists. All said the same thing. When we decided, we obviously sent her for an MRI scan to see whether it had spread anywhere else.
Yeah.
Because that obviously helps your decision. If it spread anywhere else, then there's not a lot taking the leg could do. So we decided to take the leg. And we were going to do chemo. So we basically said to us, if you take the leg and you do chemo, she's probably going to have 6 months. But it'll be 6 months of a happy life where she's not in pain, she can go running around doing a thing. Obviously with her being such a young dog, that helped sway the decision.
Yeah.
Because I felt looking at her, she had so much potential and she wasn't ready to leave.
Yeah.
So I mean they took the leg and they obviously sent it off for the chemo. And when the results came back, it was something even rarer and it was a bone cyst. So they don't actually know a lot about that. Just she's obviously had a knock, sort of. They said she'll have had a knock to her leg maybe 2 years previous. That's disrupted the bone marrow. And again, like I say, they can't really give you a precise diagnosis of how it happened or anything. So it's just one of those. But it's a very lucky thing because then she's not time limited.
Yes.
She didn't need chemo. And obviously, you know, she's six, she's nearly seven, and she's still here. So it had a happy ending to it in the end. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, that's a lot to go through from out the blue with a young dog. You may lose them to, and or you may lose them in 6 months to, we're okay. I mean, that's going through the ringer, isn't it? It really is.
Oh yeah, yeah. But I mean, it was the best news I could have had.
Yes.
For her. I mean, I'm a member of a few tripod groups on Facebook, and sometimes I do questionnaires of how your dogs have become tripods.
Yeah.
And I think on one of these questionnaires that I did get in touch with somebody in America, and hers was a born cyst as well. And again, her vet sort of said the same thing. They don't know how it happened. It's just one of these random occurrences.
Yeah.
But it was nice to talk to somebody else who's had a similar situation.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, dogs are, you know, you've got to let them be a dog and live their life and run around and have fun. But dogs are brilliant at sort of getting into scrapes and, you know, falling off things and jumping off things and knocking their legs and whatever. But that's life, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And you kind of don't expect them to lose a body power.
No, absolutely. I know. That must have been a huge shock. So saying that, how did she adapt?
So because she was sort of already on three legs anyway, what the vet said to me was she was sort of balancing that leg around.
Yeah.
Obviously, he sort of said, if you take that, what she's balancing, what's wobbling about, and she's balancing it, she'll just be even better. Mm. And I mean, she was, because of the type of dog she is, her nature and everything like that, she gives 110% to everything. Yeah. She had the surgery. They phoned me a couple hours after she woke up, right, you can come and pick her up. Wow. Obviously went to pick her up. The vet told me, obviously, you've got to be positive and happy when you see her.
Yeah.
And she just came hopping out, and she was absolutely fine. She didn't need to adjust to it much. I mean, even to the state where 8 hours after surgery, she actually jumped the fence.
Oh my goodness.
Mayhem being mayhem, and off she went. Like, I'm off for her. So yeah. Obviously, possibly for her, it was cage rest.
Yeah.
Because she was so bouncy and she was into everything. That was probably the hardest part for her. But in a way, with there not being a leg, it was easier, because if she'd had a break and had fixed it, and then she couldn't walk on it properly and stuff like that, I just felt like it did heal. I mean, it healed within a couple, 2 weeks, and there was no pressure put on it. So it obviously healed fine. It's not like she had to walk on it to go outside. So it was probably the best thing for her. Obviously, she would have been in a lot of pain with the bone cyst. So taking away that pain and giving her the surgery pain, I know it the vet explained to me that it's a different type of pain.
Yeah.
But obviously she managed well, came off a medication quite quickly. She went on walks quite quickly. We did take her to physio, and we do still take the physio. That's probably an adaptation that we use now.
Yeah.
But she's done really well at the physio. You know, they said she was doing everything right. Obviously, that the front could have been a front leg. It sort of migrate the remaining leg migrates more to the middle, and that had happened. A gait at the back's possibly a little bit bigger, like wider.
Yeah.
To compensate for it. But yeah, apart from that, it was pretty straightforward, really. The whole operation and everything, all the recovery was straightforward for her.
So when you're out and about with her, how do people generally react to her?
So obviously you get a lot of people who possibly, I mean, I don't know whether they have dogs or they have, but they would go, oh, look at her. You know, you get that reaction. Some people do sort of maybe look at her well, as if she has got a disability.
Yeah.
And I do find that as an owner, like when I look at her, she's mayhem and she's still the same dog. Yeah. But I do find that, you know, a lot of the people are generally nice and a lot of people ask, but some people stare at her. Yeah. And you just got to get used to that.
Yeah. At least she doesn't mind, you know, she doesn't care if people.
No.
Oh, you see, I've done it myself though, because I met a three-legged dog recently, and you do kind of go, oh, what's, and it, you know, not, I just mean it kindly and like, oh, I just want to give them a big hug and sort of, you know, love them up and.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the majority. The yes, majority of yeah. people would give that sort of, oh, and, you know, can I give her a cuddle and. You know, and maybe ask what's happened. And like I say, you do just get the odd people who possibly stare at her or whatever, because it's maybe something that they wouldn't do, or it's just a visual thing, isn't it? I think.
Yes. Yeah. And it is, yeah. you know, a personal decision, isn't it? I mean, based on how you feel, how the dog feels, you know, the dog's character and what they like doing. And, you know, but I mean, I think it's important to get the message out that a tripod dog, a dog with three legs, can be just as happy and active and happy and healthy as a dog with four legs, can't they?
Oh, definitely. I mean, obviously, when I first found out she was going to be losing the leg, you read up about it. I bought her harnesses with little handles on, you know, to help her over styluses and stuff like that. She doesn't use them. So she doesn't think she needs them. I bought, you know, like a water ball and food ball on a stand because it said the dog, like, no, she doesn't use that, you know what I mean? She's she's just a normal dog. I mean, she goes out for a walk with, I've got five dogs altogether. She goes out with them all, off the lead, running. She will jump fences, obviously not with me because she used to be an agility dog, not with me telling her, but just for fun. That was one thing she started doing. Oh, I'm just going to jump in. And she just jumps over the fence a few times. She has no problem with styluses, no problem with hills or anything like that. I think you expect them to, but she certainly doesn't have any issues with anything.
Yeah.
Mobility wise.
Oh, bless her, bless her. I was going to say, what is she like to live with? Because I think a lot of people will be curious about how different is life with a three-legged dog. So, what is she like to live with?
So. Obviously, she's like I say, she's still the same as what she was before. So everything with her being a working border collie, everything's 110 mile an hour. Yeah. She does race around the house. She plays. Like everything's about the same. Different thing we did, obviously, with her being a working dog and she had an agility career, is we do something called hoopers now with her.
Yes. Yeah. And that's all on the level, isn't it?
Tunnels, yeah, so it's all on one level. It's hoops, tunnels, mats, barrels, and she absolutely excels at that. She does compete in it. She loves going and competing. I think, you know, if she didn't have that, she'd still enjoy her walks outside and stuff like that, but that definitely keeps her mind occupied. And I mean, she can do just as well as the ones with four legs. Sometimes when she runs round, I mean, she's won a few, and they obviously say, oh, this is for the, when they're giving you a presentation, this is for the three-legged dog, and you hear people say, well, there wasn't a three-legged dog here, because she's that fast, you can't see it.
I bet so, when they're at speed, oh, bless. Oh, that's amazing. So, I mean, because, again, the same brain is, you know, three-legged dog is in a four-legged, you know, the needs, the need for mental stimulation is still there, isn't it?
So I mean, one thing we obviously did with her, I took her to like a local, instead of agility, we took her to a local dog club that sort of does obedience, and it's a bit of a fun club. Just as she got a night out, you know, she was socializing, she was working, she's still really good at obedience recalls and that. Like I say, she is a working dog, and she does love to work. I mean, probably when she's walking, if she's walking our pace, that'll be when she has a noticeable head bob. But obviously when you take them off when you let them off, and a lot of the times when I walk her, I do walk her off lead.
Yeah.
And that's something the physio said to me as well. And that's obviously just because when they can go their own pace, like you say, when she's running, you can't see a difference in her. She's just as fast as the others. She doesn't head bob. It's amazing to watch, see the difference between a walking and actually running.
Yeah. Oh, bless her. And I bet all the other dogs just accept her as one of them, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. None of them notice a difference. You know, I mean, that's one thing about dogs. They're not prejudiced, are they?
Yeah.
You know, they don't visually think, oh, she's disabled. You know, I mean, like I say, I think I don't see her as disabled, but I think sometimes I do have to remind myself when she is sort of running about and jumping things she shouldn't do and stuff like that. You know, because it is the worry is if anything happens to that other front leg,
yes,
then we've got an issue. That's why I could have done, the vet said I could have continued to do agility training with her, but obviously I just, from my point of view, if she went ducked down and went through a tunnel and something happened to that front leg, then it's not going to have a good outcome. So that's one thing obviously we did have to change, but then we found the hoopers, which she loves and she actually excels at, so she really enjoys that.
Brilliant. I think that's the thing, you've got to weigh up all their needs, the physical needs, the mental needs, and actually, you know, make it personal, tailored to that dog, so that as you say, you may have to put your plans or, you know, the older activities aside, but you'll find new things to do, won't you?
Oh yeah, that's I think that's the key to keeping her happy, was obviously finding a new activity for her to do and excel in and compete in.
Yeah, excellent. Sounds like she's really, you know, got it made, and you've got it sorted, and she's very happy and healthy. Brilliant. You said about she jumped the fence. Have you got any other funny stories? Because she sounds a real character.
So she's definitely a real character. I mean, she obviously self-pleases with toys as well, so she'll go outside, chuck toys up really high in the air and catch them, and she often gets them over the fence. You know, she, like I say, she's a very naughty character. We go to dog shows, like the agility shows, with the other dogs, and she comes, and one time she escaped out and off she went round the agility ring. Yeah, I'm just going to go and go over here and do this, ma'am.
Yeah, oh, bless her. Yeah, she said, I can do it. Look, I can do it. But I understand.
Exactly.
You know. Yeah, yeah. The thing is, as you say, her choosing to do something is completely different from you guiding or expecting her to do something. You know, the pressure's off if she's just having fun, isn't it? You know.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Is there anything else that you'd like people to know about three-legged dogs?
So I mean, obviously it's not made, like I say, it's not made no difference to her. I think a lot of it's our human perspective of it. I mean, if humans lose a leg, they would maybe get depressed and stuff like that. Dogs don't get depressed. So she didn't sit there feeling sorry for herself because she was missing a leg. She obviously just got on with it. And that's the amazing thing about dogs. She doesn't know she's disabled. And that she's missing a leg. I mean, she's in a disability league for the hoopers thing, but we can't tell her that because, like I say, she doesn't realize that. So dogs just have a different perspective of it, and it was much easier than what I thought it was going to be. You know, I thought she'd have a tough recovery. I thought she wouldn't be able, you know, I thought I'd have to get these harnesses with handles, so I'd have to help her on things. I mean, she'll still do 9-mile walks around Hampsley Forest off lead, and no bother. I mean, obviously you've got to keep up the endurance, so it's something that it's not like we just do it every now and again. That we often, every night she's out for, you know, about an hour and a half, 2 hours. She can go all day at the beach, she can do everything at Hampsley Forest. One thing I did do, which one of the vets said to me, was just put her on a supplement. So as soon as she had her leg removed, she went on joint supplements, just to obviously keep everything nimble and keep her in a good way. And physio's amazing, so having a good physio for her.
Yeah.
keeps her, obviously, at the minute we're on a maintenance level. So she just goes once every 3 months for like a massage. And because like the physio said to me that they do get tight in places, certain places on the back and stuff like that, which is to be expected because there's more strain on the other legs. She has had a few issues where she has hurt a back leg. And we went through about 6 months worth of physio for that. But doing what the physio says, doing her exercises, putting her on heat pulse mats and stuff like that, it does really help. So, I'd definitely say have a good physio on hand, even just for maintenance, just to make sure she's all right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a lot of things, if you spot them early enough, and as you say, support them and do the right things, they don't develop into a big problem. So it's, as you say, it's like maintenance and keep an eye on it, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, when she went, obviously, the issue is she looks lame all the time. Yeah. When she's walking next to me, she head bobs and stuff like that. But you've got to just think what she's like normally. And if there's a slight difference, then I would take her. I do take her to the vets. Obviously, get referred to the physio and go down that route. And that's sort of how you know, because yes, she's always lame. But if she's walking slightly different, then there's obviously an issue there. Like I say, because she's so hyper and energetic, she does often, you know, twinge a muscle in the back leg or something like that. And it's just something you've got to be aware of. And like you say, keep on top of it before it gets into a worse situation.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. If someone's facing this decision with their dog about whether, you know, whether to take the leg or, you know, well, facing those horrible decisions that you have to, or if they're thinking about adopting a three-legged dog, what would your advice be?
Well, obviously it would be to do it. You know, we've had no issues. I think when I was asking people at the time, a lot of people thought she might not have had the best quality of life.
Yeah.
But she's proved otherwise. You know, if I was faced with the same thing again, I would do it again.
Yeah.
For the dog, and obviously, like I say, she's a lot happier. She's still here. She's not in pain. She's still doing everything she did before. Bar the agility, but obviously we found a different activity. She's got no issues walking around, running around, jumping things she shouldn't. So yeah, and I mean, obviously adopting one as well, you know, they're no different. There's no different to a dog with four legs, really. I mean, somebody said to me before was obviously the dogs are born with like two legs they need and three legs that they need and one's a spare. So
yes, yeah.
You know, you're all right to take the spare one because you don't need it.
Oh, yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. They do seem to adapt, and all the dogs that we've looked at in this project have been so happy and full of energy and sort of. It's interesting because, as you say, my inclination would be to sort of wrap them in cotton wool and be careful. But all these dogs, you can see the energy and just that joie de vivre in all the pictures. They're just full of joy, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, like I say, I thought I would have to wrap her in cotton, cotton wool and get a little harnesses with handles and adapt everything. But I mean, at one point I have a dog van, and I opened the van and I was thinking, right, I'll go and lift her in. And ping, straight in. She's like, no, I don't want to be lifted in. You know, she's quite independent. She likes to do things herself. I've tried to lift her over styluses and, you know, lift her up, think, oh, I'll help lift her up this hill. And she's just, you know, there was one time thinking about funny stories. We were walking in the woods and obviously Mayhem goes missing. And I'm thinking, well, where is she? I look up and there's like a big steep hill next to me. There she is up the top of there. I thought, of course she is. There she is up there. You know, so she's got no issues. I mean, none of my other dogs would have gone and done that. But obviously she's just, you know, she's a very confident dog. He's a very, like you say, a very happy dog. And I'm definitely pleased I did it. She's still here.
Yeah.
And if ever any of my others faced it in the future, then I would do it without even thinking about it, just because I know how successful it can be. And, you know, your dog's out of pain, and that's the main thing. And they do have a a good quality of life. She can still do everything what the others do. So she's had no issues.
Yeah, excellent, brilliant. The online communities sound very supportive. It sounds like, you know, if you are facing this dilemma or trying to cope with it or whatever, those are good places to go for advice and support.
Oh, definitely. So, I mean, you often get people, you know, who are in the same situation as me and the dogs, and, you know, they're facing taking the dog's leg, and they'll ask advice and say, well, would they be able to do this? Would they be able to do that? And I think as an owner, you just think that they won't be able to be off the lead again. They won't be able to do this again. And obviously people will put, I'll put videos of Mayhem doing her hoopers and say, well, look, she's a front tripod. She's got no issues. Here's a little video of her running around. And I think that puts people's mind at ease as well. Because, I mean, I joined them obviously when we were thinking about taking a leg. And, yeah, the advice and what everyone was saying was just like you say, that they don't have issues, they can live a normal life. And it is reassuring to know that. So I do go on and I would put videos on of her. And like you say, it's like a community in itself. People will celebrate how long the dog's been a tripod for, how many years to the day and stuff like that. It's really nice.
Such a positive, reassuring message about the quality of life a tripod dog can have. You can see Sarah Loveland's portraits of Mayhem and all the tripod superdogs at sarahloveland.com and look out for the hashtag tripod superdogs on social media. Hear more from Julie at dogcastradio.com. Tripod Superdogs, a celebration of three-legged dogs.